Good evening, America.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Stanhope and Dawson. Man, I don't know about you, Brian, but I'm sitting up here in Placerville right now, and it's somewhere around 22 degrees. Ice all over the roads. It's been a nightmare all day. I actually dug myself out this week from this weekend snowstorm, got about a little over a foot, and then actually dug out of the storm, went and got a U-Haul today, got the U-Haul stuck in the driveway. Took me about 4 hours to figure that one out. Wasn't fun. What are you doing? Brian? Well, we don't have Brian. Where'd he go? So, but we want to talk tonight about Operation Christmas for our troops and their families. The 10th year, and I do have to say, I've said it today to a couple people, oh my God, this is going to be the coldest year I've ever lived in a tough shed. I'm kind of scared. It's going to be cold. And so there will be no fun days trying to get warm. It's going to be huddled up next to a heater 90% of the time. We got some really cool things going on, too, because we've got the press conference at 11 a.m. on Wednesday, December 11th. And we've got Assemblyman Roger Dickinson and Assemblywoman Beth Gaines confirmed to attend the press conference, help us kick it off, our favorites from the state capitol. And I know Dean Broussard from DWB Security will be there. You know, this is a good time, actually, before we bring on our first guest. But talking about, I've done this for 9 years. Started in 2003. We took care of one National Guard unit and Travis Air Force Base. This has now grown into a national organization with Brad, our national director, who will be on the show a little while later, and every branch of the military, the families and children of our deployed military, because they don't get to see mom or dad for Christmas. That's what this whole thing started as, is us showing our support for them because they're without family members for Christmas. And now it's also including in-need military. You know, last week I went to the Sacramento Breakfast Optimist Club, and JJ was talking to them. You got these guys coming home from being deployed, come back to their family. They don't have a job. They're homeless, living in their car. They won't ask for help. And so that's why we have the family resource coordinators to facilitate who needs help and stuff like that and taking care of them, because they've served the ultimate role in defending our freedom. So that's my favorite part of that. But in the 9 years, it's grown so huge. We've done well over 500,000 toys easily that we've actually distributed, and we've done stuff with helping create yellow ribbon programs in Colorado, Idaho, Illinois. We've done Virginia. There's New York, and it's just been huge. We even flew toys Fort Campbell, Kentucky, so, which was nice, and it's all branches. So I know that we've got – none of this is even possible. I when I first met with Brad – and even in 2003 came with that idea, it was a marketing hook to create a separation from all of the other toy drives out there. Because every single toy drive out there, every radio station, every TV station, every nonprofit, every organization, including the Marines Toys for Tots, go to underprivileged kids. This drive exclusively benefits the families of our military, and that's what we do. And it would never have been possible without the massive support of, I mean, just a short list of really, really amazing people. Dean Broussard from DOV Security. Brian, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Brian. Hey, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Sorry about that.
So, say that again?
I said, sorry for being late. I was helping with homework.
Uh-oh. Well, that's okay. We've done the radio show with Scott Osborne before while his he's helping his daughter sing in the background and stuff, so we're used to it. But I was just talking about, you know, all the people that have helped me over the years of this 9 years in doing this thing, you know, this DWB security. Every night while I go to sleep, 4 years ago, someone actually stole my generator in the middle of the night. And so, you know, Dean provides at his own cost, no cost to us, security guard every night while I sleep. You know, you got the Sacramento Breakfast Optimist Club. It's basically a philanthropic organization, a bunch of Sac State alumni, and they meet once a month, and they have various nonprofits, but it all has to do with kids. So that's how we got involved with them. You know, I remember all the way back to 2006, which makes it 8 years running. There's only about five people that have been around the entire time. A lot come and go, and deployed, not deployed. But Tessa and Jeffrey Seiden with their mother, Sherry. And then you've got, oh, my word. We'll get to that in a second. But with the Biden, you'll love this one. I remember 2006, Sherry comes walking up with her son and daughter. Never met them before. They want to know what was going on. They ended up staying almost every single day helping us. And I remember Jeffrey saying, "This is totally cool, man. When I grow up, I want to be in the military." And his sister immediately told us how she doesn't want to do military. She wants to go to college and become a doctor. Well, jump forward 8 years. Guess what? This is Jeffrey's almost third year in the National Guard. And Sherry will be, or Tessa will be flying home from college working on getting her doctorate.
That's fantastic. You know, for those aspiring high school doctors, a good way to pay for an incredibly expensive education is through the military. My cousin is in his research year of med school at Walter Reed, and he's an officer in the Army, and he's going to be an Army surgeon. I think he owes him 20 years, but, yeah, it's a fantastic, saving a lot of money, and he's serving his country.
Yeah, exactly, you know, and then you got Jim. Jim showed up 2006 also. I was sitting right in front of Best Buy, one little tiny shed, and he started helping me. He was there almost every single day, and then he's the one that's a member of the Sacramento Optimist Club, Breakfast Optimist Club, and he's actually their new president now. But these guys have stepped up every single year. Because they do so much with volunteering for all so many different groups, you know, with them, they usually, I think they donate an average of about $1,000 a year to our group, which is huge because not everybody can do that, and it matters because just talking to Shelly tonight for our public relations and marketing stuff was, you know, what do we have for holes? Well, every single year is the same thing. I get a ton of toys for the mid-age kids, but when it comes to newborn and when it comes to teenagers, and so I get these lists from the units that, you know, we want, here's the ages. All I get is like, you know, Gonzalez family, boy 6, girl 5, boy 3. But then I realize, oh, wow, I don't have any teenage boy stuff. So we have a choice of go shopping or go buy gift cards. Fortunately, that's one cool thing. Best Buy actually matches me for gift cards.
That's fantastic.
Yep. I've gone into Best Buy before and, like a few, I think it was 3 years ago, it was real popular for the iPods and stuff like that. We went in and bought a bunch of the knockoff iPods, probably 10 of them, and a bunch of earbuds. And I think what they did is they charged me like half price on the iPods and free for all the earbuds, and I got like 20 of them.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh, yeah, that's why it's been fantastic. I think also we have our first guest is going to be Cindy Amon Brown. Are you there, Cindy? Okay, Cindy's not with us yet. I told her 8:10, so she's close. But I want her to talk about, you know, it's become a, you'll see it when you get there, Brian. It's something to be seen. I remember it's gone from the first year was people drop off bags of toys, throw them in a truck, and take them to somebody to get rid of them. And nowadays it's units all up and down California, other states, all the various assistance I need. You know, you got, I'm getting a Humvee, brand new Humvee, and a brand new LTV. And those are coming all the way, one from Stockton, one from Turlock. You know, who knows where those are at, and then they get to me, and they'll be there the whole time. For the kids love to climb in those things and take pictures.
Yeah.
Santa's military sleigh. And actually, the STV is brand new, so that'll be fun. And now, the other big thing is, once people drop off toys, they can do cash check or credit card donations. They can do gift cards. And then you've got this entire organization of amazing people that are all coordinators for the families in the military, because we don't get names, addresses, phone numbers. We don't want to do press conferences at somebody's house. We have this huge organization that does that stuff. And on the line now we have Cindy Amon Brown from 100th Troop Command. Cindy.
Hi, Rodney.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, freezing cold. It's ice all
around
my house.
Where are you at? Oh, you're at the house. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yep. Yeah, we're iced in. I live on a big hill, so we ain't going nowhere. I'll put chains on the U-Haul in the mornings to come down, because the sheds arrive at 7 a.m.
You only have a couple days left to get down there.
No, I got to be there tomorrow morning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sheds arrive at 7 a.m. So, and then Wednesday morning is the press conference at 11. But I wanted to have you on to talk about, you know, the organization of the resource coordinators and where you guys all come from, the fact you're all volunteers, and toys come to me, and then how do they get to the families? And how do you guys
First, I'm going to correct you with who you are working with. They're not resource coordinators. They are readiness coordinators.
There you go.
Family readiness coordinators.
You've told me that about 100 times, but I'm blonde.
Yeah,
so.
That's what JJ is, and she is volunteers. So what I do is I am a contractor, though. I'm a family readiness support assistant and the Northern POC. And what I do is I let them know of your organization. So I shoot it out to all the firsts or all the brigades, who then put it out to the family readiness groups. And that's where they give us the names of the families of soldiers deployed and or hardship is what we call it. Those in need. And so we ask for the names of those that need it, and then we submit them to you. And what we're doing this year differently a little bit is if we have a unit that needs quite a few toys, we will then submit an amount of toys to you and have one POC from that unit pick it up. Otherwise, families will come on their own accord to the Arden Mall.
Yeah, which also we should mention, you know, you can go to your readiness coordinator or you can actually come to the shed. Just bring your military ID with you and everything's good to go. So how many readiness coordinators do you have, do you think, up north, just without counting the south?
As far as we look at it as readiness groups, that we hope to have an FRG, family readiness group, per unit. So up north, God, I don't know, probably over, you know, because we have about four main brigades and then some separate commands that are battalion commands. So we have five family readiness support assistants up north. So half of the team is up north here, and then they have FRGs underneath them. So I would say I know I have under me. Under my command, I have at least 34 units. So that tells you how many FRGs that I have. And then, you know, so then imagine the soldiers' families underneath that. So within the California Army National Guard.
Yeah, and that's the other thing to mention. That's just one branch. That's the Army National Guard.
That is just, you know, is just one branch, and that's just north. Mm-hmm. So we have about four different brigades up here, plus two battalions that have a FRSA.
Yeah. Well, I know that's part of our big thing. we have the second organization called Toys for Troops Kids, which I want to mention. If anyone hears of that group, Toys for the Troops Kids, it doesn't matter to me where you put your toys at. Come to me at Arden Fair Mall. Go to them at Sunrise Mall. That's the group I originally started with, and they all end up in the hands of the military. So that's Brett Daniels, Jay Evans, those guys. I know you deal with them too. And
correct.
Difference is I'm Navy, and I know a lot of Army. My son's Marines. They're all a bunch of flyboys, and so and they know, you know, because you got Beale Air Force Base, Travis Air Force Base, that kind of stuff. Although we get kind of spoiled. Beale Air Force Base is kind of easy. Usually we get a phone call from them of number of toys, and I just call Dan Logue's office, and his group takes care of it, which has been good. So, and then have you met Brian? Is my co-host for the show. He lives in Livermore. Brian?
Hello.
Do you have any questions for Cindy?
No, I don't know much about this stuff, so I'm just being quiet and learning.
We actually, Rodney, are collecting right now the lists from the different FRGs and what have you, and I have a suspense, hopefully, for them to get it to me by this Friday so that we can, you know, not hit you all at one time, but we're going to slowly trickle that. Because and what I like, too, is you being willing also to cater to the needs a little more if you can, if you know, depending on how our public is. If somebody like you shared with me needs a car seat, for instance, or something, I can put a preference in or a request in to possibly get those items or diapers or what have you. So it's not just about the toys.
Oh, yeah, no problem at all. My pleasure. So I know
we are tremendously grateful. And if the press conference is Wednesday because the Brigada has something for you. So would you like it presented then?
Okay, yeah. That would be nice.
Well, that's up to you. I will be off.
Yeah. I would love to. The media would love that. It's 11 a.m. at the shed on Wednesday.
Okay.
So, yeah, we got Assemblyman Roger Dickinson and Assemblywoman Beth Gaines both attending the kickoff, so. But, yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. So,
okay.
I look
Thank
forward
you.
To seeing you Wednesday, and then Saturday is the car show. I know the flyer is up on the Facebook page, so. Which anybody that wants
and
information
have,
on this whole program, huh?
I've been also pushing that for you.
Oh, cool. It looks like so far we're going to have, last year we had 100 cars. We're going to beat that this year. Oh, and I forgot to talk to you about it. I'll be posting information later on the Facebook page. The Roseville Raceway. It's called All American Speedway, and one of the racing groups called CNH Racing, they are going to be Wednesday at the press conference with some race cars, and I believe, I'm not sure what day it is yet, they're going to have a event at the Roseville Speedway where you bring toys for our group, and you'll get to actually drive onto the racetrack and do a lap as you donate your toy.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, so that's going
to
be...
We need to get a flyer out on that.
Yeah, we do. We're making one right now, and they're donating raffle prizes for the Saturday car show, including 3 days, 2 nights, with tickets to the Vegas NASCAR race and Sonoma Raceway. I'm like, say what? My wife's looking at me like I am not giving you a credit card. it's going to be fun. Dale Waltrip autographs, merchandise, all kinds of stuff. So I'm like shocked. These guys are awesome. And then Brian staying the night in the shed with me one night. We'll be broadcasting next Monday with Brian and I at the shed with his daughter. Right, Brian?
Yes, we're very excited.
Yep, that's going to be fun. So
yeah.
That'll be the night we play music all night long and I keep him up all night.
Yeah, I will tell you, though, that after I said I'd do it, that Arctic cold snap came in, and I was just like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Real cold.
Yeah. I'm sitting up here with two heaters running in my garage trying to get stuff packed in the U-Haul going, oh, wait a minute. So, it's going to warm up some.
Yeah.
Right, Cindy, we got good weather ordered?
We sure do. They did say it was going to warm up. We have maybe one more night, okay. And they're talking at least the 50s. That's better, and no more freezes out here anyways. I'm in Roseville. So we have one more night and day, and then they're talking it to warm up.
Good.
So
good.
By the
like
time you get
warm
here,
up.
Yeah, well, that's warmer than what we're going through, so that they know you're coming. So they're going to
okay,
cater
good.
The weather to you.
Very, very good, very good. So, and also point out, Yellow Ribbon America on Facebook. If you have any questions, you want to get a hold of me, phone number's on there, information's on there. We always need volunteers. The mall has given us a second table, second location. So we have where I'm actually in the shed, in the parking lot next to the Cheesecake Factory at Arden Fair Mall, and you have the inside table where, well, I guess it used to be California Pizza Kitchen, but they have the movie theater, and they have the Chinese restaurant, the bookstore. Smash Burger is there, which is an awesome place. They feed our volunteers
We had that in Arizona on our trip. I never had Smash Burger before.
They're
good.
It's
so good.
It's really
everybody
good.
Everybody who shows up to volunteer. Yeah, Cheesecake Factory feeds us, but also all the volunteers to walk over to Smash Burger, and they feed us for free. It's totally cool. Yeah. So we have that inside table, and that's kind of like what I call the swag table. We got all the cool giveaway stuff there. And also we always have we're doing a thing this year with these rolls of paper and sign a note to the troops, and then we're going to cut them all up and have them shipped off to all the different hospitals and stuff like that, the veterans' homes. And we want to try and do... I'm saying a mile of signatures. wrap the whole mall in it, but we'll see. So it's been fun. How'd your parties go this weekend, Cindy? Did everybody get everything?
They went very, very well. The armory was packed with parties. JJ's party, I believe, went very well. Everybody had a great time. The kids were blessed.
Yes,
they were very happy. So
let them know next year it's easier if they have their parties after I'm in the shed.
Yeah. You tell them that. Yeah, they do their training schedule way before that.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'll let them know.
Yep, so. Oh, all right. Well, thank you for being on the show.
Okay, thank you, Rodney.
Any last
and
comments?
And I'll see you in a couple days.
Actually, because of what you do and where you're at, tell our audience, what is our biggest need, hole that you've always run into, age group or stuff like that?
Infants. Younger.
Infants. Okay.
Babies. Yeah, anywhere from, probably. I would say, basically newborns to age two.
Yeah, that's true.
By the way,
thank you. Thank you for bringing me the Old Navy stuff up here that helped me on 49th Chemical Company.
Oh, good.
So, yep.
Yeah, and probably the older teenagers. I'd say, too, Rodney, the teenagers maybe with gift cards or what have you, probably from 15 or 14 to 17.
I point out to the listeners, if you're going to go out, let's just hypothetically, like Brian, you're going to spend $100 or $200, it's actually better if you just get a bunch of $25 gift cards because then I can cover more families with that. Yeah. So, cool. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Mm-hmm. Thank you for everything you're doing for us.
Thank you.
Okay. Have a good night.
Thank you. So what do you think, Brian? Scared?
What do I think about what? Oh, about the cold? Nah. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, cool. Good. If you like it that much, you can come up here by my house and stay because it's 29 degrees right now.
Oh, man.
Yep. So, now, do you have anybody, people you've talked to, military families, I think a lot of people don't realize, like, what our military goes through when they come home, because, you know, getting deployed, not see your family, come home, and you don't have a job.
Well, I mean, one of the difficulties, I have some friends who, you know, a lot of the things they did, they can't talk about, so you can't really, you know, talk about it on a resume, you can't talk about it, you know, it creates, especially friends of mine who were more infantry and special forces. I have a friend who's a Marine recon sniper. Some of the things he does, he can't talk about. And a lot of his skills don't translate outside the security industry. So, yeah, I mean, it's not, I think it's something that we don't get to see a lot of, because it really puts the human price of war. It's not just, you know, the people we lose and the people who are injured. I mean, it is a transition that is incredibly complex and, in my opinion, is underfunded. And I don't know why a lot of people, but I agree with you, a lot of people I know don't really, you know, think about the transition.
Well, and these guys are coming back, a lot of them, they're coming back with PTSD and stuff like that, which is hardcore.
Yeah,
you know?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think anyone who has experience with PTSD, which is something, you know, it's very difficult, and it requires a lot of help, and not just help in the sense of mental health. It requires, you know, people to work with you, your family members, and it's a difficult thing. No PTSD is the same, which makes it even more difficult. You know, it's rough, and I hope that, you know, I think right now I know of at least two or three studies where they're really trying to throw some money at the problem through academics. So let's see how, if there's a better way of coping, if there's a, you know, how can we help these guys out? So I think that in the future there is some sun on the horizon. It's rough right now because the wars we have fought have been a little different in some. I mean, I guess every war is different, but, you know, it's different.
The flip side of it is yeah, well, I know, like, you know, when I was a search and rescue diver in the Navy, I come home, it's not exactly a job for that, you know.
You can go exactly.
On your playtime, and you can go diving off Monterey for fun, but, you know, it's totally different, because even all my certification in the Navy were no good. I had to recertify for PADI for diving when I got back, because what they teach you in the Navy is not what they want you doing, quote unquote, for safety purposes. You know, I'm jumping out of a helicopter. And actually, here we got a awesome host or call in here. 2006, Adam West. His mother was actually our coordinator for all the toys, and he had his car club, a bunch of Scions with neon lights everywhere and loud sound systems. And I think the first year we had 8 cars. And then Adam's now moved back to Virginia, but the new club, and I'll let him tell you all about it, this group is awesome. They've got some of the most fantastic cars you'll ever see, everything from Toyota Camrys to, you know, the Fast and Furious kind of cars, Mustangs, you name it. And this club called Team Love Hate Forever, and they do some event almost every single month, and it's all about giving back to the community nonstop. And last year they did a car show at our shed, had over 100 cars. You have to pay $10 or $10 in donations to get in, and why don't you introduce yourself and tell us what you guys got planned for this year, bigger, better, badder.
Hey, how's it going, Rodney? This is JV from Team Love Hate. We're going to be doing it again this year, Operation Christmas, you know, for the troops and their families. Basically, I mean, you know, it's going to be just a normal show. We're going to have judges out there and everything like that. It's a $10 donation or a toy of, you know, equal value. So, you know, if you guys have a nice car, go ahead and bring them on out. bring the family as well. You know, we started a few years ago, probably about 6 or 7 years ago, and we're basically, you know, just we keep a balance between, you know, taking home trophies and giving back to the community. So that's one major thing that we're all about is family and the community. So.
And not all planned either. You guys put together an event that benefited people that were from the Philippines. I saw the pictures of that. You guys did an amazing job.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we're actually, that's coming up in the beginning of next year, January 4th. So that's going to be Operation Typhoon Relief over there at K1 Speed off Bradshaw. So
it's the stereotype. You know, you guys got the souped-up cars, and so you must be out causing trouble. And I'm like, I'm watching your page going, these guys don't really do anything except help everybody else in the community.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, a lot of car clubs or cars of, you know, that genre, they get a bad rap with the newer cars and stuff like that. But, you know, when we started doing these shows, a good majority of them were, you know, going to muscle car shows. You know, and we made a lot of important, you know, connections through that. And, you know, that's where it started, and this is where it is now, you know. So it's only right that we pay homage to, you know, those guys in the muscle cars. I mean, we're all car enthusiasts. So that's why we don't really, I guess you could say, discriminate on the make or model of car you drive if you want to join the club. We you know, we'll take anyone that's willing to be part of this team.
Well, if you want to talk paying homage to the old school Saturday's car show, we will have the raffle prize. Autographed Big Daddy Don Garlitz gloves.
Oh, yeah. The great Big Daddy.
Oh, yeah.
I used to go to see him at the Fremont reunions here and at Sac Raceway and, you know, go out to the drag races out there and at Infineon and all that stuff. Yeah, so he's definitely an icon in the car scene.
I drive people crazy. I still call it Sears Point. Screw Infineon. Now, also, the other thing I found nice, what's the average age of your membership?
You know what? To be honest with you, Rodney, it's pretty surprising. The average age is probably, I'd say, in their 30s.
Yeah.
We have members that are as young as 19, and the oldest, I believe, is about in their mid-50s. So.
Yeah, now he's the guy last year. Brian, you'll love this one. He had a classic Mercedes-Benz. And he had the Motorola brick phone on the dashboard.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that gentleman was actually, he's not part of our club. He's one of our good friends, though, from this group called Euro Sunday. So,
yeah
we definitely, you know, we had him come out there. It's a beautiful car. It was a real beautiful car. I think it was an 84 Mercedes-Benz.
85, the year I graduated.
85, yeah.
Yep. 85.
We're going to have a lot of local car groups out there. You know, a lot of our friends from all the different groups in Sacramento. You know, so we're really excited about that, just bringing them all together and kind of trying to put an end to that stereotypical, you know, we're just out to make trouble kind of thing, because that's not what we're about, you know, so.
Well, if anybody goes to Facebook and looks up, you know, Team Love Hate Forever, your group, it's... You guys are nonstop. Oh my word! So,
yeah,
and a lot of
definitely.
You guys,
I mean,
you got members who are former military or still in the military too, right?
We do. We have a couple that are actually stationed out in Denver right now that are starting the Denver chapter. One in New York, a couple that are here in Sacramento that are existing that are serving right now, and a lot of the families that we have have, you know, their fathers or, you know, grandparents are retired. Veterans as well. So my father is actually a retired Air Force. So we're always about, you know, giving back to the troops and supporting the troops and their families.
And I think my wife wants to enter her truck this year, and so we have that category, four-wheel drive trucks that don't work.
We could talk about it.
She's frustrated. She's frustrated because it's like a mini truck kind of thing, and we're so iced up out here, it's ridiculous. She got stuck in a parking lot getting dinner tonight, so.
Hey, you know what's surprising? I mean, a lot of people don't realize yet, but those are coming back. They're slowly coming back. And I said it about a year ago to a couple of teammates, and they kind of looked at me kind of weird, but it's blowing up again really big with the mini truck scene. So it's kind of like history repeating itself with this newer generation.
Sweet, cause if I can drop a B2000, B200 Nissan, I'm playing Beastie Boys, dude.
There you go. Take it back to those days.
I used to live in Reno, and that was my truck. So.
Nice.
What about you, Brian? What did you used to drive?
What's that? I'm not a car guy. I like books. I have books in the back seat. I have a 94 Infiniti. My dad's an Infiniti technician, so it kind of works out. I've always driven Infinities, so I think the one car I had that wasn't Infiniti, I had a Samurai Suzuki. Those little fake.
Oh yeah.
Things. That was a lot of fun.
Yep. I wish I still had my first car. My first car was a 69 Plymouth Satellite.
Oh boy.
That thing was awesome. Yeah, if you got in a wreck, it was about 8.3 seconds between the seat and the front window.
Yeah, my first car was a Dodge conversion van. It was a 1985 Dodge 250 custom conversion van. So
wow.
That was an interesting first car to have with the fridge and the captain's chairs. And
If any of the listeners have a car, bring it on down. $10 to enter the contest. We have a ton of fun. Who's DJing for us this year?
We're going to have DJ Remix coming out, DJing this year. He's going to be go ahead and providing the music, the tunes, as well as, you know, helping out with you if you need anything as far as the emceeing goes or calling out for anything. He's there to help you as well.
Okay, and I will have my sound system there, so DJ Wildside will be spinning. And a surprise for you, dude. DJ Brian Hawk will be there on Saturday to do a set.
Oh, really?
Yep. I talked to Brian
That'll
yesterday.
Awesome.
He's going to come down for us, and so Brian's going to come spin too.
That sounds awesome. We're really looking forward to it. The team's really excited. I still want to stop by there, you know, a couple of days before to talk to you about some stuff as far as, like, the parking goes. Is it going to be basically the same spot or –
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I that's the perfect location for the sheds, and then we can block off as much of the parking lot as we want.
Excellent. That sounds awesome.
Yep. So.
All right. Well, we look forward to
tell everybody. Tell everybody the date and time and everything.
Yep. It's going to be this Saturday, the 14th. It's going to be at the Cheesecake Factory parking lot right there by the Toys R Us, which is technically 1919 Arden Way. It's going to start at 10 a.m. till 2. It's going to be a DJ. Raffles, you know, bring the family, like we said, it's a $10 entry fee or a toy of equal value. And just come out and have a good time and come support our troops and families.
And I'll be posting later. You can spread the word to your guys. The Sacramento or All-American Raceway is going to be there with CNH Racing. They're bringing a couple cars.
Yes.
And they are bringing some amazing raffle prizes, including a 3-day, 2-night in Vegas with tickets to the NASCAR race and tickets to Sonoma. So we'll
that's
be raffling
be awesome.
Off some incredible stuff, the Daddy Don Garlett stuff, Michael Waltrip autograph stuff. The list is a mile long, dude. You guys are going to love this stuff. So I'm looking forward to it.
Sounds awesome. Definitely. Yeah,
cool.
You can,
thank you.
People interested in the show, if they want more information, they can just check it out on Facebook at the Yellow Ribbon Facebook page, or they can go to we actually have an event page that's third annual Operation Christmas Charity Car Show and Toy Drive. So if they need any information, they can go ahead and hit me up there or just private message me.
And your club name and your guys' Facebook page.
Yep. Go ahead and check us out at Team Love Hate Forever on Facebook, and our website is teamlovehate.com. And, we look forward to it, seeing you on Saturday.
And where did you guys get the name from?
Actually, my brother, Jaisal Gonzalez, it was kind of just a random thing is when we first started, because a lot of people would see the stuff we had on the cars, because one thing that stood us out from everyone else is we would actually use anime on the cars, because, you know, my brother and a lot of us on the team grew up watching Japanese anime. So, you know, and it turned out that, you know, a lot of people kind of took it the wrong way, like, oh, you're just putting stickers on your car, you know, it's not paint. You know, we got a lot of criticism from it, but at the same time, we were getting all these people that were in love with the cars, you know. And it was kind of one of those either you love it or you hate it kind of thing. So it kind of just meshed together, and we just called it Love Hate.
That's cool. Speaking of that, describe the cars that were there last year. That's not a sticker on a car. That's like 3D anime overlay paint. Talk about that real quick, because that was some amazing paint jobs.
All right. Well, basically, in a nutshell, I mean, it's not your typical vehicle wrap like you see on a lot of these business cars with their, you know, advertising for their business, where it's just basically one sheet of vinyl that covers the vehicle. What we do is we'll actually go to the shop, print out, you know, an image, cut out each section of the image, and then layer it on top of each other to add depth. You know, so it's never just one solid vehicle wrap. So that really did set us apart from everyone else that was starting to do it or that had never seen it before. And, you know, once you told them about that, then it kind of made them look at it a different way. So it's definitely
a tedious process. Yeah.
What was that?
Oh, my God. Like, well, how many hours does it take to do something like that?
It can range anywhere from 8 hours on up to 16, 18 hours for one car.
Wow.
And that's just install time. That's not even the prep time itself, so.
And then is there any limit on the year of vehicle? Because I know Dave Souza, you know, he'll show up with his horse and wagon if we let him.
Hey, if it has wheels and it moves forward, then, you know, bring it on in.
Yeah, Dave was just in our parade. He's running for county supervisor up here, and he was in the parade with his new horse and his wagon and having fun, and I could just see him showing up with the wagon and the horses.
That would be awesome.
The kids would love that. Yeah. So, anyway,
absolutely.
Thank you very much for calling in.
All right, Rodney, thank you. We appreciate it.
Hey, we appreciate you guys. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks a lot. We'll see you guys soon.
Hey, Brian.
Yeah.
Yeah, that group is unbelievable, the number of projects they work on. I mean, it blows the stereotype of the race car guys out of the water.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, so. And I don't think, we don't have any other callers on right now. I thought Brad was calling in, but probably not, so. So now, which days are you coming up? You're just coming up for the Monday, right? Or are you going to be able to come up more than once?
Yeah, we have every Christmas I go and see my grandparents, usually like a week or two beforehand, and my brothers and sisters. So we're doing that on Sunday, so Monday we'll be heading up.
Cool. Well, yep. I know my sister, my little sister's even coming out from Montana.
Oh, wow.
With my niece, yeah. So we'll be having some fun. Yep. So I'll teach you how to use my DJ system, and you can go in the mix on Monday.
No thanks. No thanks.
So, yeah. So, anything else you want to add? Anything you got going on? Want to switch to politics?
No. Yeah, you want to talk? I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I'm totally itching to, but no. If you don't want to do politics, we don't have to.
Well, the funny part is, I'm totally unprepared. Everybody who knows me, this will shock them. I haven't even been watching Fox News or anything else and doing any politics.
No, I don't want to talk anything about it that's going on right now. That's boring. There's so much other things to talk about. I mean, politically wise, but you know, I'm a nerd about this, so it's not just necessarily what's going on today. I mean, I that's why sometimes I tell people I'm not really into politics. I think that's what politics is that what's going on today. Like, what are we gonna do to try to screw the other guy? I mean, are we gonna do something with the filibuster? We're not gonna pass the budget. Like, you know, like. We're not going to really do anything. I'm not into that. It's boring to me.
That's a funny one, the filibuster thing. Don't they realize at some point that'll work against them? That was kind of a stupid move.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the more tactful move would have been with the new Senate. This is my thing. If you want a filibuster, you should have to stand up there and filibuster like Rand Paul did or like anyone else did that. That's what a filibuster is. It isn't simply writing a note to someone saying, hey, if you don't have 60 votes, I will filibuster this. I want to see the guy stand up there. Because I think if we see people actually have to stand up and filibuster the things they threaten to behind closed doors, you know, I think the American public would really get an idea of whose interests our elected officials are really working for. So, and it's
But you and I have talked about that before. Nowadays campaigning used to be about who could do the job the best and who you believed in. Nowadays it's a popularity contest, and it's all about pandering to special interest.
Oh, yeah, and it's not just about the popularity contest. I mean, that was 5 years ago. That was the problem 5 years ago. I mean, the problem now, in my opinion, is you can have a race for, say, Congress that will be somewhat civil and somewhat low-key. And when I say low-key, I mean they're not spending millions of dollars on ads and, you know, a reasonable budget for an election. And 2 weeks before the election, which is where most people make up their minds, a organization that is not that is legally able to be completely untransparent. You don't know where the money comes from, who's paying for it. They can say whatever they want to say as long as they don't say the magic words. And you can sway an election. I mean, I think of in the last election cycle, Barra, that Democrat, you know, you have an organization that came in 2 weeks before the election and spent more money on a single ad than he had spent in the whole cycle up until that point.
Who was that?
You can sway an election.
That's changing. The San Diego mayor's race, the Republicans still won, and the unions for the Democrats on behalf of super PACs, they dumped like $20 million in at the very end, and it didn't work. But people are starting to wake up to that stuff. You guys, listen, ShamWow is a great commercial, and it sucks up water, but it's not a miracle rag. Don't believe the hype. You know, if you get a campaign mailer in the mail, throw it away. Make the candidate call you. I'm a marketing guy. I get paid to do marketing. It's not that hard, you know, but all that money will go away if people stop believing the hype. They get a campaign mailer. I've got Republicans that I know telling me they voted yes on Prop 14, top two primary, because it was called the Voter Rights Initiative. And then they go, we didn't want that. And I went, did you read it? No, the mailer said, you know.
Yeah, it's money in elections. There is something that the American public needs to learn. Do you have, each one of us, you know, you need to ask yourself, do we have enough money in our incomes while we're struggling to pay the mortgage, while we're struggling to put our kids through college, pay for health care, you know, taxes, which, you know, people say there's too much of, all these things. Do we have the amount of money to compete with multinational corporations? No, we don't. And if you look at the fundamental system of the United States government, from our tax code on down the line, if you can sit here and look me in the face and say, hey, we have a system of government that is here for the people, I'd laugh at you, because it's not true. And this isn't a rhino. This isn't a Democrat thing. This isn't a Republican thing.
No,
I
agree with you. The problem is elections are swayed by marketing campaigns. Those marketing campaigns are paid for by big dollar donors. Those donors are special interest people. The only way to fix it is do your own research, get your butt off the couch, and go figure it out. Go meet the candidate in person. Don't just get a mailer and go, oh, look, it's Bertie, and that's your decision. It's like, really?
Yeah.
You know, because I've won consistent campaigns up here, and every single one of them, for instance, Tricia Wilkins for Placerville City Council, we never spent over $600. Every one of our competitors spent well over $5,000 or $10,000. Trisha.
Yeah, but that's a hyperlocal election. I mean, hyperlocal elections.
No,
grassroots can really sway an election.
I can tell you right now, I can win a campaign with good volunteers and a good candidate over any amount of money in most districts because people are waking up and they want to meet. They want to meet and shake your hand.
I'm sorry.
You know,
no, there are people that want to meet and shake your hand, but we have a country where, you know, or a state for that matter, since, you know, we want to keep education local, not federal. We have a state of California where children, teenagers, are required to take 4 years of physical education, 4 years of PE, but only one semester of civics. From the minute we put them out as voters, they are unprepared, and they stay that way because when you're unprepared and you're faced with these important decisions, it's easy to get jaded and disillusioned to the system, and as you get older, you have more responsibilities, you got a mortgage, you know, all those things start accumulating. It's easy to understand why a vast majority of the public have no clue what they're doing when it comes to voters. I mean, we did polls on low, like on bottom of the ballot, hyper-local elections, all right? Half the time, people don't even know what the office they're voting for does, you know, let alone who the people are.
Oh, my God, yeah. Well, I love, like, here in my county, you know, they were blaming a county supervisor for the fire tax and trying to argue with somebody and tell them the fire tax was the state assembly, you know, and they have no clue. They don't know.
No.
And, you know.
No.
But, yeah,
and,
no,
and
that's
I mean,
both sides are using the term low-information voter.
Well, it's a problem. I mean, a low-information voter is a huge problem. I mean, the only thing, in my opinion, worse than a low-information voter is a single-issue voter. And that's a problem, too. You know?
Yeah.
And
Agreed. Yeah.
I mean, when it comes to the direction
the
of
Democrat, The Democrat Party wins with grassroots based on low-information voter. The Republican Party keeps screwing it up because they've got too many single-issue voters.
Oh, yeah, but, I mean, I think Democratic candidates win elections because the districts they are in are made that way. There are, I mean, really, Rodney, how many seats are really contested? I mean, how many?
Well, aren't they saying right now? There's 100 U.S. senators, two from each state, and they're talking eight seats that are even matter. I mean, and granted, I live in El Dorado County. I've got Congressman Tom McClintock. There is not an amount of money George Soros could come in here with every dime he has, and a Democrat will not beat Tom McClintock.
You have
so we have one. We have a red district now in L.A.
Yeah,
in L.A. Every Republican in the nation could dump every dime we had into a race in L.A. County, and there's not a Republican going to win.
Or the Bay Area, for that matter. I mean, maybe down towards,
towards
San Jose, but in the Bay Area, there's not a single Republican representative, and there probably will never be a single Republican representative. We don't even have one in the Assembly anymore. You know,
I was going to move down and run for mayor of San Francisco as a conservative Republican. You don't think that'll work?
It depends on what brand your conservatism is, I guess. So,
you know, and actually, you know, friends are going to be shocked I said this. I saw Leno on a talk show. No wonder that man keeps winning damn elections. I was actually impressed, and I disagree with 90% of what he stands for. The dude is just a straight shooter. I was like, damn.
I think that me and my wife were actually just talking about this on the car ride to her work Christmas party, which was in San Francisco. We were talking about the fact that Governor Brown, Jerry Brown, whether you like him or not, he's a pretty straight shooter. And telling the people things that a lot of politicians wouldn't want to. And I think that it has to do with the fact that, you know, when you've done the job before, it does get a little like, well, this, you know, you're so worried about reelection that you might not say things you want to say all the time. So once you've done it before and you know that that's not really going to hurt you all that bad, I think it's a lot easier to be a little more free.
Oh, yeah.
But
he's
totally
a straight shooter
for your team here. That's all.
Yeah,
I
well, we knew exactly what we were going to get. I could have named everything Jerry Brown was going to do that I hated because he told me this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
also,
no, and you
gotta
respect that a little.
I got to give him
you know,
I got to give him credit too. With the recall in Colorado had just happened successfully, and he had across his desk a whole slew of crappy ass bills. He signed the lead bullet ban, but he vetoed the assault weapons gun ban and the mega clip. Just enough the gun owners, because lead bullets are going to go bullets are going to go through the roof for pricing. But you can't. Yeah. You'll never launch a recall against them because he vetoed assault weapons one, and he vetoed the clip one. I'm like,
you can't have everything. You
had
know? He, so he gives you just enough.
Well, had he signed them all, we probably could have successfully launched a recall. But you know, he's freaking
he
too smart
lost.
For his own good.
Man, has a 59% approval rating. I mean, come on.
Yeah, his approval rating's higher than Obama's.
His approval rating's probably one of the highest in the country. Right now,
yeah.
So I mean, 59%. You can't wave a stick at that.
Oh, you know me. I think our current leader's so bad. I'd rather have Jerry Brown for president.
You know what's funny? Here, I'm glad you brought that up. I wanted to talk to two. You know, I wanted to talk politics. I called you yesterday. You didn't call me back. I was going to tell you because there's two things I want to talk about. I want to talk about Obama. Now, I want to make it completely clear and transparent. I was so in for Obama. You know, I volunteered my time. I did all kinds of stuff. And I like to think of myself as a relatively smart guy. I write a pretty killer speech here and there. Rodney knows that firsthand. And I was totally, because we have a system of government that needs fundamental change. It needs a change of direction. It needs a change of thought. We have to try something new. And neither party is giving us. And I thought for one day, here's this dude telling me, he's using my word, it's changed. I'm like, yes, I bought in, okay? So 4 years go by. Now, those 4 years, I don't care who was going to be president, whether it was Republican, Democrat, I don't care if it's, you know, Barry Bonds, Jesus Christ, whoever it was, had a raw deal. He had a raw deal going into it. So when things didn't completely fall apart, I was like, all right, Mitt Romney. Doesn't really give me – well, we do not see eye to eye. Let's just say that. On pretty much anything. He is the epitome of what I think is wrong in the country. You know, like, I don't know. Like, I just couldn't do it. So I was left with Obama for 4 more years. You know, carried
yeah.
interest.
Well, here's the thing, because we only got two minutes left, and I want to make a quick point.
Go ahead.
Hypothetically, I'm going to give you Obama's first 4 years. Whoever was president, it was going to be crap, okay?
It was a shit set. Oh, I'm sorry. It was
even,
a bad crap
even, okay, even granting that concept, okay, and giving him a pass on it, I cannot give him a pass. I don't care if it was Republican or Democrat. Take responsibility. The buck stops here. This man, every time something hits, whether it's Republican conspiracy theory or whatever the hell you want to call it, every time there's a controversy, that man stands up there, doesn't have a freaking clue what the hell his people are doing. The healthcare rollout, NSA, IRS, I don't know. Jesus Christ, dude, get your shit together. You're the president. Even if you didn't
yeah.
know it was happening, you brought those people into your administration. They're your responsibility. I just want to see the man one freaking time stand up there and go, yep, you know what? I'll take responsibility for this one. Just once.
Okay.
And I'll give him some,
if you,
I'll give him
I,
some sway.
I haven't known you without a different president. So if I can see you hold any president responsible to that level, like, hey, you know, some bureaucrat that I've never met, had no hand in hiring, did something wrong, yeah, it's my fault. Like, if you're going to hold every president to that standard,
no,
I have no problem.
The people who were screwing up are the leadership, his administration. He brought them in. Unless you want to blame Rahm Emanuel, which still leaves Obama not knowing what the hell he's doing in there with his people.
Like,
the healthcare debacle. The health, the Republicans do get one positive here. The health care one, he never met with Sebelius. He never, this is his baby. It's Obamacare. It's his great freaking legacy. And he never met with Sebelius.
With who?
How the hell do you not meet? Obama never had a meeting with Sebelius from Health and Human Services regarding the Obamacare rollout. It's his freaking legacy.
Okay, you're talking about the website or the actual rollout of the bill, because I can assure
but
you
the whole freaking rollout.
On the
rollout
has been
a nightmare.
A quarter million people
have new insurance now that couldn't have it before, but 3.5 million Americans have lost their insurance. He never met with her.
And that's the fault. That's the corporation's fault, and you know it. This is what I'm talking about. We have a system of government that wants to chastise people. And the president is a representative.
If I am the president of a corporation, if I'm the president of the corporation and you're my marketing guy and we're about to roll out a new marketing campaign, you can bet your ass I'm going to have a meeting with you and want to know how the hell this marketing campaign is going to roll out.
Mm-hmm. And for 4 years, who had control of the purse strings of the Obamacare rollout? You're telling me the president got a free check. That's what you're telling me. Because I can sit here and I can point to $850 million.
I'm not talking funding or politics.
You're talking about the launch of a website. You want the most powerful man in the world who has – I can't even – have you seen how quickly he's grayed? Just in the hair. I can't even imagine what a day is for the president of the United States. And you want him to come to the public and say, I dropped the ball on a website launch. That's what you're telling me. That's absurd.
Sure.
It's absurd.
Why? I guarantee you the CEO of Ford Motor Company meets with his department head
and say, I launched two wars. I spent over $1 trillion, and we didn't find one weapon of mass destruction. Oh, and on top of that, I created situations where there's going to be civil war. There's going to be about 15 to 20 years of suffering, which will make them hate us even more. When did George Bush or any Republican come and say, hey, that was my bad? And that's a major problem.
When did George Bush stand up there and say it wasn't my fault? I'm talking about take Ford Motor Company, take Target, take Walmart. Hold on, Brian. Take Walmart, Ford Motor Company, take IKEA. I guarantee you whoever runs the company as the CEO meets with his department heads before a major freaking rollout of
yes, and it is ridiculous.
Proportion.
It is ridiculous in every shape and form for anyone who understands government to compare private industry and the United States of the United States president and a CEO, two different things, two completely different things. You can't compare them. And, you know, you want to try to because that
I'm not talking Obama running the website launch. I'm talking meeting with your department heads so you know what is going on.
Okay.
Well,
at least he did admit on TV
that
for major issues that affect the country for a generation. That's what I want. I don't want to quibble.
Healthcare is one sixth of the global economy.
The website has nothing to do with healthcare.
I said healthcare.
The ACA has nothing to do with healthcare.
The entire ACA. Okay,
yes.
The entire ACA is one sixth of the economy being affected. That's called major. That would dictate major. That's major.
Government. You're not taking into consideration that we have known for 15 years from documents within the Chamber of Commerce, like the memo in the late 70s by Leonard Powell about lobbying, we've known that they don't want to pay for health insurance. Okay? They don't like it. It gets in the way of profit. And you're going to sit here and tell me, you're going to put the blame on a man, the legislation, okay? And you're not going to put any blame on CEOs going, oh, my God, this is awesome. I've got like 25% of the population talking about death panels. They're all freaking out. I mean, they're holding up signs with him with a looking like Stalin. I mean, this is great. Just the right time to drop people. You know, we have an excuse now. Sorry, it's going to be too expensive, even though no one actually knows the actual cost increase that this has caused yet, you know. But hey, it's going to cost
more
money.
That would be because the portion you use to pay your bill doesn't exist yet. I'm talking meeting with department heads, and he is the president.
He's the president of the United States. Yes, he is. He's the commander-in-chief.
Yes.
I think that it's a great use of his time, you know, while we have situations throughout the world like Syria, and, you know, all kinds of problems just popping up and typhoons, and yes, he should spend a good hour.
Let me give you an analogy real quick. Here's a quick analogy. He's the president, and yes, he cannot have his hand in the cookie jar of everything happening in this nation. Even he admits his government is overbloated. But Republicans, if you're out there, if Republicans are out there preaching anti-gay marriage, fidelity, faithful marriage, one man, one woman, and they're out having an affair, you're an idiot, you're an asshole, go away. Okay? Obama... This is the one thing in his entire 8 years. He was even calling it Obamacare, out of his own lips. Okay.
After
this was his baby. This was his baby.
We all know you try to reclaim the usage of the word. Keep going.
No, he even used the word.
It's ridiculous. I know he did.
He
and I just
stood
told
on,
you why.
Okay. But I'm
you
just saying,
it's the
that's
same
his,
reason
out of 8 years, take out the IRS, the NSA, and everything else, just one thing. That
was
his
nothing.
Baby, his
what
legacy.
Happened at the IRS? What happened? Did they persecute conservative groups? Is that what you're talking about? Because I heard
I don't even know.
Oh, then why would you bring it up?
I'm saying take all that off the table. Take all that off the table. I'll tell my Republican Party, shut up about the IRS, the NSA, Benghazi, Fast and Furious, drop it all. Obamacare, he put that forward. That was his baby, and he screwed it up.
He screwed it up. Okay.
To never meet with the department head that's going to be the person in charge of rolling this whole thing out.
Okay. Here, right now, Rodney, to make you feel better, for all left-leaning socialists out there, I will take responsibility for the failure of a website launch. I'm doing it. I'm taking one for the team. The website launch was a failure, and it's my fault. So there you go. Now, can we actually be concerned with something that is, you know, actually important?
Like what?
I don't know. There's tons
name
of
them. It.
Let's, you know, name it? Okay, here's a good one. I had a friend this week tell me that he was no longer going to be my friend anymore because we had a conversation, and that conversation was about whether or not the United States was a Christian nation. And I said, no, it's not, and never was. And he called me a secular humanist and that we couldn't be friends anymore. And I thought about it, and it made me really angry at first. And then I thought about it some more, and I said, well, I don't see anything wrong with secular humanism, so I shouldn't be offended by being called a secular humanist. But it made me think of the idea behind it, that we would actually break the ties with people that we've known forever over in a conversation of theory, something that can't be proved one way or another. And then I thought about Obama.
Yeah.
And then I thought about all these other things. And that's what it is. I mean, I
actually like speaking of that, because Mark Billingsley brought it up earlier, the Republicans about the war on Christianity, the war on Christmas type thing. And I loved the other night. There's a whole atheist group running, and let me finish this first, running these ridiculous-ass ads in, like, New York, you know, that if you don't need God, good for you or something like that. I forget what show it was, had this guy on that's an atheist, and even he admitted, he goes, I think they're a little over the top, and they're antagonistic, and that's not cool. He goes, I would prefer, if you don't believe in God, you're not alone. I'm like, good point.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
you know,
I'm not really.
But what they're doing in New York is asinine.
Yeah, because you're preaching to the choir. But I've seen the billboards,
It's like putting a penthouse, an ad for penthouse across from the Mormon Tabernacle. You're just screwing with people.
You know, I think that the war on Christmas, he brought that up, and I thought it was really, really awesome that you know, you should be able to say Merry Christmas. And I think it's sad that we live in a society where people have so little on their plates that they have the time to be offended by a greeting. you know, whether you're offended someone said Merry Christmas to you, you don't believe in Christmas.
Yeah. See, that doesn't even make sense
just,
to me.
It's just habit. I take it as habit.
Yeah.
I take it as a greeting during this time of the year. It doesn't offend me.
But,
I also see any idea. Whenever I hear that there's a war on Christianity, I kind of laugh inside. And,
well,
but
to some some degree, your very point you just made, though, if someone walks up to me and says Happy Hanukkah or Happy Kwanzaa, I don't get offended. I say Merry Christmas. But
yeah,
and I would expect the same level of, you know, respect. I say Merry Christmas. You say Happy Kwanzaa. Okay, so what's your name, Joe? Great to meet you, you know. But when I'm working for a company who goes, we don't want to offend anybody, you can't say the word Merry Christmas. It's like, seriously? What are you talking about?
It's a war on, you know, it's, you got to think about it, though. These are private
political correctness.
Right to do that, don't
political
they?
Correctness in this world is getting ridiculous.
Oh, it totally is, and it's a huge problem. You know, especially with education, political correctness is a huge problem with why we will always have the problems we have. Because it's not politically correct, you know, it's not appropriate to say, hey, little Johnny, you're not really cut out for college, but we're going to teach you to be a carpenter like they do in Japan. It makes a much more efficient society and education system. But, no, I agree with you. And I think but the war on Christianity, like really, like the most powerful religion in the world, and you guys are oppressed? Like, I mean, come on. That's absurd.
Well, it's like, I'm not Mormon or Catholic, but I'm not offended if you are. Right down the street from my house is a huge Catholic church. Every Sunday I have to deal with traffic. It's the only traffic jam that will ever occur in my town near my house is Sunday at the Catholic church. I'm not pissed at them. You know, and actually Scott Osborne's sister, Stacy, just said, you know, it's kind of like getting mad because someone said, bless you when you sneeze.
Yeah. Yeah, no, people say Merry Christmas to me, I always greet it with, I too worship the sun god. And you should see the face on there. It's pretty hilarious.
Well, but, you know, and then again, you could get into the debate that is true to a degree because Christmas was a pagan holiday and Joseph and Mary were going to pay their taxes. It would have been summer after the harvest.
Yeah.
So,
no,
is fine. I could care less about that. It's just.
Can we talk one second?
Uh-huh.
Do you believe, or can you prove? That's a better question. Can you prove that the United States is a Christian nation?
I'm actually gonna take a bail on that one and use a quote from Paul Green in Sacramento, who ran for Senate against Daryl Steinberg, and was asked a question like that. My personal walk with God is mine. Your walk with or away from him is yours. It is not my job to judge. That's my choice. And do I believe? That's
for
me. I'm not shoving my morals down your throat. That's the problem is I don't believe. I was raised Seventh-day Adventist. My grandmother was hardcore. Long dresses, long hair, no jewelry, no makeup, no perfume. I was absolutely silent while I was sitting in church playing my little felt board because you did not make noise, you know, reverence, vegetarian, you know, the whole works. And yet still, your thing is your thing, my thing's my thing. All these years, I know people for a fact who are friends of mine have absolutely no clue whether I do or don't believe in God because I will not discuss it. Because it's
I didn't ask
thing.
You if you believe
your
in
thing.
God. I asked you if you thought
no, I'm just saying.
America was intended to be a Christian nation or not.
I think the country was founded by a group of people who were God-fearing individuals.
I wouldn't disagree. But when you say God, it doesn't necessarily mean a Christian God. I don't believe it was.
Okay.
I don't think that. I mean, was the country founded by some men who were Christian? Totally. I have no problem. I'm not saying these guys weren't Christian, but whether or not that
and even
this
they
nation
argue.
Was men.
Jefferson didn't agree with them.
No.
But yet they didn't hate each other. They didn't sit there and pander to BS.
Yeah, no, I just, it's always been something that's bothered me, because there's no reason, you know, through factual and documented empirical facts that you can prove that the country was intended to be a Christian nation. And I've always taken such great offense to that, because it promotes an ideology that if we don't follow God's law, we'll fall out of favor with God and bad things will happen to our country. And that's ridiculous.
But that's their belief. That's their belief. My problem is that they're trying to shove it down your throat or vice versa.
Spend millions of dollars to influence
votes. Well, now, here's the weird one for you. I got a hypothetical for you. You can't prove God exists, but I can prove that Darwin is wrong.
You can prove that Darwin is wrong.
The theory of evolution.
The whole thing, or just
only
certain little?
Yeah, parts. Only the strong survive. I've been to Walmart on Black Friday. Darwin's wrong.
That's a good one. Good one.
Thanks.
Good one. No, and you know
anyway,
what? The other thing.
Go ahead.
That has been bothering me. I want to talk to you about was Ayn Rand. Do you like Ayn Rand?
Honestly.
Atlas Shrugged, all that.
Yeah,
stuff
never read it.
Okay.
Never read it.
I had the misfortune of having that be required reading for one of my classes. I had to read Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged and The Virtue of Selfishness. I mean, that's a great title, The Virtue of Selfishness. Well, if anyone does like Ayn Rand, feel free to call
me. We'll see. With Ayn Rand, you're talking reading books and stuff, and I'm actually really bad about that. And I admit this, and probably half my friends don't even know it. I could walk into your house, look at your company files, and without a calculator, find a 3-cent error in a 12-year period off the top of my head by looking at a computer screen. Read a book, do a report, write an essay, I'm screwed. I had a C- average, and my parents were moving to Tahoe. We didn't even bother trying to transfer schools. I dropped out of high school, did not graduate, and got a GED because my senior year I would have had to have taken 4 English classes simultaneously to be able to graduate. But yet I was doing calculus in 10th grade at the local college.
Yeah.
So when they say read poetry, I'm like, you kidding me? Rose of the red, dodge the blue, this shit sucks, and so do you. So, but yeah. So, no, I've read Terry Brooks, Sword of Shannara, and the entire series. I like science fiction. Anything with a star in it. Star Wars, Star Trek, Stargate. But, yeah.
Did you read Ender's Game?
No. Huh? Oh, Ender's Game, yeah.
Yeah.
That's fun.
You ever read Philip K. Dick or... Isaac Asimov, I love those guys. Ray Bradbury.
Yeah, Bradbury, Asimov, yeah. So.
Bradbury had a short story.
It's like,
it was about the future.
And even with,
and the way. But.
I was going to say, even with my wife and I, you know, it's like we can walk into any building, and I immediately find 12 people I'm talking to. She's sitting there reading on her iPad. She probably goes through 20 books in a month. So, you know.
Yeah, my wife reads constantly. It's like. I find it incredibly attractive. She's always reading.
She just sits there and watches me because I'll get a whole crowd of people and end up in conversation for an hour and a half.
There you go.
So, yep. So, anyway, you ready to close up the show for the night?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And with that, I look forward to broadcasting next Monday from the shed. We'll have fun. And
yes,
I promise we'll get to debate politics at some point during the show. While we're looking at each other eye to eye.
There we go.
All right.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for calling, can't wait to see it.
Yep, and Wednesday, 11 a.m., press conference kicks off the shed, and I will be there 24/7, Arden Fairmall parking lot, next to the Cheesecake Factory in front of Best Buy. You can't miss it. There's going to be a military Humvee, an LTV, 3 big, giant, tough sheds, Christmas lights all over the place. And it's going to be fun. And we are desperate need for donations. You can do drop-off toys. You can cash your check made out to Yellow Ribbon America. or we now have the square. You can call me on my phone and 530-748-7142, and I can do a credit card over the phone. It is tax deductible, and it all benefits the military. So we thank you guys very much, and I am going to go finish packing my U-Haul because I got to be there at 7 o'clock in the morning in Sacramento.
Well, have a good one, Ronnie.
Thank you, Brian. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
See, I didn't say Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Take care. Yes, Merry Christmas. Tell your wife hi. I'll talk to you later.